Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio on this Wednesday, April the 3rd, 2019. Thank you for listening to AFR. This is a live radio show you're listening to, so just want you folks to appreciate that. And Ed Vitagliano joins me every day to, like me, put our careers at risk by talking publicly live.
That's right.
Without an opportunity to take back what we just said.
That is correct, and we do take our lives into our own hands.
Right.
My wife holds her breath the entire time I'm on the radio, hour and a half. It's quite a feat, actually.
Yeah.
What's he going to say?
For an hour and a half? What's he going to say?
Are we unemployed?
What did you say today? All right, Chris Woodward is here. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. I've heard before that behind every good man is a great woman rolling her eyes.
Oh,
yes.
That was pretty good, Chris. Where'd you get that?
I heard it from somebody.
I had that. Someone sent it to me. It was a behind every great Italian is a great woman rolling her eyes.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. That's true of my house.
Oh, well.
If I'm a great man, I have a great woman. She rolls her eyes at my
all jokes. Right. Much to discuss and talk about today happening in this world of ours.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to get started with Chris Woodward. Chris filling in for Fred today.
I am. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Do you mean that, Chris? Are you really happy to be here?
Yes, sir. And okay. I enjoy
it. That's not just a platitude.
You know, it is a blessing to get to do what we do. I get to
tell the world about bad news.
Chris. There are a lot of people out there. There are a lot of people out there that God calls on to inform people in this world what's going on.
Oh, and so now you're called by God to do this, huh?
He's a prophet.
Right? I do feel
he's a prophet.
I feel this is what I was called. This is my purpose in life. I have no doubt.
People, well, you're good at it.
You are good at it.
So I would
mark it down. Ed said it, folks.
Yeah, that's right. And not all the news is bad.
No,
we do have some good news.
I get to do some happy stuff every once in a while.
That's right.
Right, some good news. All right, go ahead, Chris.
Well, you know, another hurricane season is near. That'll begin on June 1st, and Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen last night, she was on Tucker Carlson's show. This is going to be clip one, Brent. Secretary Nielsen said the situation on the southern border is now like that of a Category 5 hurricane.
We are bringing all of the interagency together. We're asking everybody to chip in. We need to surge down as many resources as we can to the border. But Congress needs to look at this as a hurricane too, right? Where is the supplemental? Where are the additional authorities?
Of course.
Where is the way to address this?
But, I mean, I've covered hurricanes and natural disasters, and you see men in uniform with rifles. You see the National Guard there.
Yep.
I read a bunch of background quotes from flag officers in the United States military who said that's a frivolous duty for us. We've got a real duty is over in Syria or whatever, some other country. Why wouldn't we put the U.S. military along our border if it's really a crisis of that magnitude?
I think we're looking into that. We've made the request. I'm in constant contact with the acting Secretary of Defense.
Now, as you guys are aware, Democrats have long claimed there's nothing going on the border. It's not that big of a deal. Republicans are trying to do this and that, one thing or the other. But as you guys have seen the pictures, you've seen the video, you've heard from people with military families, things like that. Is it a stretch to say that this is similar to a natural disaster?
Well, I don't know if it's a stretch or not, but it is chaos down on the border. And the fact that we don't have control of that border, it looks like it's going to only get worse.
Mm-hmm.
And
We're being overwhelmed.
And when you have, I mean, I think it's probably an apt comparison. When you have those kinds of natural disasters, you see the streams of refugees, people without homes and, mm-hmm. you know, with whatever belongings they have, you know, on their shoulders. Mm-hmm. So I think it's probably an apt description. And I'm not sure what the president can do about it when he can't get Congress, and by that I mean mostly the Democrats,
right.
Can't get Congress to do something. They seem to be fine with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we're in a precarious situation with this because, and some other issues too, because we don't have two people acting in good faith. In yesteryear, Republicans and Democrats would have both acknowledged that we have a problem on the border. and with illegal immigration and with national security and with our American government officials who are being, and by the way, I might add, people who work for charities and nonprofits down there trying to help these people with humanitarian aid. They're all being overwhelmed and swarmed with these. You've seen the pictures of these tens of thousands of people flowing up here and keeping on coming from these Central American countries right through Mexico. And so it is a national crisis, a national emergency. But we have one major political party who won't acknowledge that. And even though they know it's true, that's what's so shameful about it to me.
It is shameful.
It is shameful. They know it's true, but they know if anything's done successfully to stop it, that President Trump will get the credit for it. If he gets the credit for it, that ups his chances of winning next year, the presidential election. So the Democrats have made the calculated guess, maybe that's
gamble.
Gamble, yes. That they'll continue to ignore it and call it something that's hyped up by President Trump, even if it means all these people flooding into our country. It's worth it if Trump loses.
I think that is spot on. In fact, the longer this goes on, the more Democrats have to double down on pretending that there's nothing to see here,
right,
and that there's nothing going on, because they can't midstream. They can't suddenly go, oh, well, it's Wednesday. Wednesday, it's a problem. It's a humanitarian disaster. Yesterday, it wasn't, and it was all just Trump bloviating. Today, it is.
Right.
They can't. I mean, midstream, they can't suddenly say, well, yeah, I guess now it is. Now they have to double down on it. And to your point, they believe not only is the 2020 election in danger if Trump succeeds, but if Trump wins, then we lose, I'm talking about from the Democratic perspective, we lose the Supreme Court for another 4 years and the federal judiciary, and look at all the things we lose. So this is a hill to die on for Democrats, and no matter what happens, they have to.
Well, they pretend the hill doesn't exist.
Right.
You know, there is no hill. I mean, it's to your metaphor, because and it's, you know, I mean, when you have people, the Democrat Party leaders saying we don't need walls at all, walls are immoral.
Beto O'Rourke, I'm tearing down walls.
Tearing down walls. What more do you need to hear? So if half of our fellow Americans are good with that, which that's what the Democrat Party has expressed. I mean, that's a radical view. No border walls at all. And they've come to that place for a lot of the Democratic presidential candidates. Then I don't know. That's uncharted waters right there. Because we're looking at each other going, well, surely if we talk to our fellow Americans and show them what's going on, that we'll all agree to some kind of an action to stop this massive illegal immigration pouring into our country. And then when the Democrats go, we don't know what you're talking about. We're not coming to any meeting.
Right.
You're just making all this up.
Well, Nancy Pelosi said, we're not giving the president $1
right.
for a wall.
Right.
Listen,
we
all know people who are Christians who will say things like, I believe in building bridges, not walls. Okay, platitudes like that, that have no relationship to reality and to real life. They don't live their lives that way. They lock their doors at night.
Right.
Their homes have walls.
Right.
People like the individuals like the Pope
in
Vatican City with walls and armed guards.
He's the worst hypocrite of them all.
Yeah, you shouldn't have...
He's lecturing to the world about being against walls, living in the Vatican.
Living in the Vatican City.
I would just say, as they say on ESPN, come on, man.
Yeah.
Huh? Anyway, so I interrupted you.
No, I was just going to say, so you've got, to your point, half the country, roughly or whatever, are supportive of this, and many in the Christian community. That living, you know, they lock their doors in, you know, bad parts of town if they drive to a big city, you know. So you do believe in walls. You do understand the purpose of barriers and security. But on this particular issue, you pretend real life.
Does anybody here? Does anybody here know what shutting down the border actually means? The president has said he will consider shutting down the border, the southern border, if this massive, you know, in response to this, people coming in illegally by the tens of hundreds of thousands.
It means, from my understanding, it means that things are not going to come to and from Mexico.
So you shut down the highways.
You would shut down highways. Legal auto parts to agricultural products.
What about
products
planes?
Would be able to come in. That I don't know.
I don't think planes.
Okay.
I think it's just the terrestrial border crossings where you legally enter the country, trucks coming in with products, you know, goods going south.
But wouldn't that hurt the American economy?
It would. And there have been people kind of questioning and opposing what he's looking to do. And I think it stems from something we had or the president said last week. I don't have this audio. But the president said last week from the White House that Mexico needs to step up and do something here about these people coming from Central America through their country trying to get into the U.S. illegally. So I think he's trying to do something to hurt Mexico's financial bottom line to get them to step up some efforts to help us.
But it also hurts ours.
It does. I mean, there's a lot. People don't realize this, but there are a lot of washing machines, dishwashers, auto parts,
vehicles, was made agriculture. In Mexico. I didn't know that.
There's a lot of stuff that comes from Mexico. It might be an American brand, but it's made in Mexico. A lot of avocados. Now, we do have a lot of avocados in California, but whether or not there's enough to satisfy the taste buds or the palates of American
like I said, it's uncharted territory when you get into a place of politics where one major political party cares more about hurting President Trump than they do about protecting our country from this massive illegal immigration. And it's just depressing, quite frankly, to think that we've come to that, you know. But that's where we are. 50% of America believes in borders and 50% doesn't.
Yeah.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim here with Ed and Chris. Next story, Chris.
All right. Senator Tom Cotton has a request for the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service. Senator Cotton was on Tucker Carlson's show last night, and he and Tucker discussed Cotton's idea or urging of the IRS to investigate the Southern Poverty Law Center. Clip two.
So just the obvious question first. This is an organization, a small organization that has a $500 million endowment. How are they tax exempt exactly?
So the Southern Poverty Law Center has over $500 million. About a quarter of that, Tucker, is parked in overseas accounts, as best we can tell. I don't know many charitable advisors say it's best practice to send your endowment to overseas accounts in the Caribbean. That's one reason why Charity Watch gives them an F rating, a very well deserved F rating. Because you said, Tucker, they've really become kind of a hate group themselves. They have this so-called hate map, and they use it to stigmatize their political opponents. You know, respectable center-right organizations like the Family Research Council, their Alliance Defending Freedom. It's fine if you don't agree with those organizations. There are plenty of groups on the left I don't agree with, but I don't try to stigmatize them as a hate group and then go peddle that to CNN, the New York Times, to attack their donors.
Bingo. He understands it and he gets it.
Yeah, right. To my knowledge, the IRS doesn't have to follow through with his request, but, I mean, you guys know a lot about
I'm glad he's asking them to do it because when people send money to our ministry, they expect us to use it to advance the causes that we say we promote, i.e., in our case, the gospel of Jesus Christ and all that comes with that, the message of God as proclaimed through the Bible. Now, so if it turns out our audit shows up and we've got $20 million and we spent $373,000 on our work,
right?
Then we're lying to people. Mm-hmm. We're misleading people, and that's not charity. That's a for-profit posing as a nonprofit. So I think that's what's been going on with the Southern Poverty Law Center. Obviously, when you got $500 million,
half a billion.
I mean, half a billion parked offshore in investments, and yet you claim that hate is at an all-time high in America?
Right. But you can't find anything to spend that money on.
And you have poverty in your title.
Then you're either lying about, yeah, you're either lying about your cause, which I think that's what's going on here, because they're not spending money on the cause that they raise money for.
Well, and I would, let me just say this. I would be opposed to using the to weaponizing the IRS to go after the Southern Poverty Law Center just because they're leftists.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
That's what the Democrats did under President Obama.
Senator Cotton just said.
That's right. However, this is a special case. I'm not for the IRS investigating all liberal groups just to harass them. This seems to be a special case of a group that has vast resources. They don't appear to be spending a very high percentage of it every year on their nonprofit
mission. Yeah.
And listen, let the IRS find out what they will. I mean, if there's nothing going on and we've misinterpreted these amounts, mm-hmm. fine, then just tell us.
Senator Cotton there from Arkansas did say the SPLC had an F rating.
Yes.
Right.
From one of the charity rating organizations.
Probably in part due to this.
Yeah. Yeah.
What
so
we're discussing.
They also, the SPLC has had in the last 2 weeks their CEO and their
founder, was
their
it Morris?
Founder.
One of the co-founders.
Yeah, and their top lawyer have all resigned.
Three top.
Either kicked off or resigned.
Right.
Forced resignations because of alleged improper behavior inside the building of the SPLC there in Montgomery, Alabama. But anyway, hopefully they're done as a, quote, credible organization.
Yeah.
Because they've hurt a lot of innocent people, the SPLC has, with their labeling. Because
right.
what happens is people like Amazon.
Yes.
And even in the past, the Department of Justice mm-hmm. and others, they look to the SPLC as an organization that gives them who the hate groups are in America.
Right.
And when the SPLC is basically a left-wing group, then they say American Family Association is a hate group. So we get put on a hate group list. This happened in the past. It's no longer the case, fortunately. And for the Justice Department of the United States, this is under the Obama administration. And I remember taking phone calls from people. One of them was a dad of a gentleman who served on the Kentucky Highway Patrol. He said, my son had to go to a class where they were talking about hate groups for all the highway patrolmen, and your organization was up there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
AFA, he said, they're not a hate group, son. I write them checks.
Yeah.
I support them. And they're a great organization. And then I got a call from a...
But they got that designation from the SPLC.
Right, right. So hopefully, and then I got a call from a gentleman who was a soldier attending a summer camp in Mississippi. I forgot what camp it was, somewhere in South Mississippi.
Shelby?
Yeah, Shelby. Shelby, and they were doing the same thing. Somebody was doing a presentation to the soldiers, and they were saying, all right, we're going to go down the extremist groups in America today. Here, you got to watch out for the skinheads and the KKK and the AFA and, whatever.
Yeah.
We're lumped in there. It wasn't just us. It was a few other reputable
groups. Yeah, I don't think Louis Farrakhan.
He probably wasn't in there.
He's not even on the SPLC
but
list.
It was like, you know. So they were lumping us in with all these other.
We would find this out.
We'd find this out, you know. And so who started that? The SPLC.
Right.
Right.
So I'm glad. Hopefully this will, be the end of them as a broker on hate in America.
Right.
You know, and I think it's worth pointing out, too, he brought up FRC there. For people not aware of the situation, 10 years ago.
Family Research Council.
A guy went into the building with the idea he was going to shoot as many people as possible. And the reason he went to FRC is because he saw the SPLC label FRC
on
as a hate
map.
Group. Mm-hmm. So his idea was to go shoot people and stuff some Chick-fil-A sandwiches in their face and things like that. Yeah.
Don't forget, too, that the fellow who went to shoot to kill all the Republican congressmen.
Mm-hmm.
He was
and did shoot Steve Scalise.
He did, yes.
Yeah. and intended to, and could have well easily murdered a lot of other
right.
ones. But he was he was an SPLC.
Yes, I forget the connection with the SPLC for that guy.
He was a Bernie Sanders fan.
He was a Bernie fan.
Yeah. You know what? I better check myself on that. I can't remember. Like you, I better get back to
find out.
I'm going to get back to me.
Yes, yeah, you get back to yourself.
Okay, on that to make sure I'm right on that. So yeah. I'm going to hold that back. But you know, we don't always blame the people responsible for committing acts of violent crime. Are first and foremost that person.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have to look at what the motivations are for people when they act violently. And so you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, good for Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas for that. What's next?
All right. Governor Ralph Northam, the Democrat in charge of the government there in the great state of Virginia, he has drawn the ire of people again. That's because this week Governor Northam signed an animal cruelty bill. And pro-lifers are not happy about it. I want to do clip six here, Brent. This is Life News founder and editor Stephen Ertelt. He would like to see Governor Northam as concerned about babies as he is animals.
There's nothing wrong with protecting animals. But if you're going to speak up for protecting animals, at least have the decency to speak up for protecting human beings as well.
Now, for those that might not remember, back in January, Governor Northam went on a Virginia-based radio show and basically endorsed the idea of infanticide. He actually said he was okay with allowing parents and doctors to, after a baby is born, to make the child as comfortable as possible, while a discussion ensued between the parents and the doctor as to whether they would let the baby live. So Ertelt is one of the many people that's been upset with Governor Northam since then. But you know, Ertelt says here, this is clip five, he says a lot of politicians, not just those in Virginia, make pro-life arguments for dealing with other issues, just not those involving babies.
There's a duplicity on all sorts of issues when it comes to abortion. You know, we've had presidential candidates, like Kamala Harris, like Hillary Clinton in years past and others, you know, talk about things like gun control or the environment or what have you, and talk about protecting life and even going as far as saying the sanctity of human life or people have a right to life or something of that nature. And, of course, they're using the kind of language pro-lifers use when they talk about abortion, but there's a real disconnect. There's a real moral disconnect there where they don't understand that while they're talking about the sanctity of human life, they need to remember it in the abortion context as well.
Now, Ertelt went on to tell me that he encourages pro-lifers nationwide to really get up and get out and get involved, be engaged, and hold people accountable when they do hear pro-life arguments for things involving guns or climate or whatever to say, hey, why don't you take up for babies as well? What do you guys think?
Well, first of all, let me get back to Tim on his question that he asked a few moments ago. James Hodgkinson was the shooter, the one who shot Steve Scalise and opened fire on other Republicans. He had liked the SPLC on his Facebook page, with along with other liberal groups such as Media Matters and MoveOn.org. So that was the connection with the SPLC. Now, back to your point. Ertelt's point, and by the way, I love the show Family Matters.
Yes.
When he was on there,
yes.
Stephen Ertelt. No, I think you should be allowed to abuse your pets and harm them, including killing them, because I am pro-choice when it comes to property. So I think that if you have a dog and you want to abuse it, you should be allowed. Keep your hands off my pets. So that's tongue in cheek.
Yes,
it's between the vet and the owner.
And the
animal
between
owner.
That's right, and that's what. Who can you imagine a celebrity using that argument for fighting dogs,
mm-hmm.
having a dog fighting
right,
ring?
Right.
People would go crazy.
Michael Vick went to prison.
Went to prison.
Yeah. There's
that's
a reason.
Tongue-in-cheek,
there's
folks.
A reason why this is double standard exists, and I'll tell you why it is. First and foremost, when we get back from this timeout, stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues, our guest will be Dr. Alex McFarland of Exploring the Word.
Hey, this is not a fable. It's not a legend, a myth, or a fairy tale. The empty tomb, the risen Christ, salvation for whosoever will may come. This is reality, isn't
it? Reality. We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I was finishing undergrad and got credit cards because I couldn't work full-time. So that started the credit card journey for me.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
And then when I got married, we combined our credit card debt and it became impossible to pay off on our own. At that point, I was like, I don't know where to turn. And then I found Trinity.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relief. I mean, in a matter of 3 years, we've already paid down $20,000 in credit card debt, which is huge.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. A flag unfurled leads to fury. That story coming up. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. The American Legion is none too pleased after a number of Democrats on Capitol Hill replaced POW MIA flags with flags honoring the transgender movement. The flags were only temporarily removed, but many people were offended. The American Legion said they had no issue with transgender people, but they said it's wrong to remove the POW flags. They argued the flags honor the ultimate sacrifice made by members of the military. Family Research Council President Tony Perkins accused Democrats of shoving the POW flags in the closet. He said it was jarring to walk down congressional hallways and see the pink and blue flags. You know, if Democrats want to recognize transgender people, there must be some other way for them to do that without insulting our nation's prisoners of war. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back. Did I yell right there? Sounded like a
little,
yell.
A little bit of a yell, but it was an enthusiastic welcome back.
Okay.
Just excitement. If that's yelling, I must be
okay.
Screaming.
Well, I'm Tim Wildman. I am, by comparison to
to some people on this show,
Brother Abraham Hamilton III, I am a tame man. I will say
I
that.
I walked into that
on the radio. Yes. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning.
Abe, hey, no, how nobody wants you? To hear. Nobody wants to hear the NPR aides.
Not even me.
No.
Can I just throw a story in here? Can I tell this story that
sure
I just
can.
Mentioned?
We got time.
All right. This is, folks, this is just one of those, whatever you want to call them, Darwin Awards. This man didn't die, so we're glad of that. But in terms of people who break the law and aren't too bright.
Yeah, dumb criminals.
This is a Fox News story. A Mississippi man was arrested on Monday after posting a YouTube live video as he apparently drove over 185 miles per hour on a highway outside Jackson. In the video from the day before, which is still active, I won't call out his name because his family's probably very ashamed.
Sure.
Accelerates his 2017 Ford Mustang Shelby GT350 past traffic as he calls out the speeds. After slowing down, he is seen being pulled over by three police cars that were responding to reports of the dangerous stunt. So people are watching this on YouTube, and they called the cops on this guy as he's...
Was he on the interstate? Do you know where he was? Does it say?
It says outside Jackson. It's on a highway outside Jackson. It's got to be, is it probably I-20 or maybe
I-55? I-55, probably. I would guess. Now, you probably, a lot of people do speed on I-55. As they say, they're keeping up with the flow of traffic. But I would say you're breaking the law.
But he's calling out his speeds while he's doing this on YouTube Live.
You know, the police could not have caught him. He must have just stopped.
Yeah, he slowed
down. Well,
it says
he was slowing down.
He knew he did this counting the cost, probably, even though he's not a very smart guy. He probably knew he was going to be nailed.
Well, there's
his doing
picture.
It live, YouTube.
What do you call
it? But, you know,
his mugshot.
Hey, he gets in the newspaper for a few days. Maybe, you know, who knows what he gets out of this deal.
He has a Shelby GT, though.
What was he racing? What, he wasn't racing.
The Ford Mustang Shelby GT 350.
Went 185.
All those probably those numbers probably mean something to people
you
who
think
know
Ford,
about cars.
You think Ford will use that as an advertisement?
They should.
It's a nice looking car.
Hey, we go from 0 to 185 in 30 seconds.
I mean, that's,
you
know, just...
If you ever need to pass somebody.
Right. Huh? I've owned cars that went from 0 to 60 in about 2 weeks.
You too.
Yeah, I've owned cars that were like that. So.
You mean... You don't dare try to pass somebody because you don't get it going there. Hey, these new cars and my wife Allison, she bought one of these SUVs, you know, a year or so ago. She said, "Man," she said, "I'm just out on the highway. I think I'm going 50, and I look up and I'm going 75, just because it's a nice ride,
yeah,
huh? It's so smooth, you know." And everything. You don't get the jarring, you know, feel from 25 years ago, you know, when you had one that went 70 whatever miles an hour. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on AFR. Abe joins us. He does most Wednesdays. Abe is Abraham Hamilton III. He's the host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon from 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time here on AFR. He's also a public policy analyst for the American Family Association. And Chris, there was something we wanted to talk to Abe about.
Yeah, House Democrats say they're going to start issuing subpoenas to Attorney General Barr and other people because, as they yesterday were saying, we want the unredacted Mueller report or else. And Barr didn't comply, so now they say we're going to start issuing subpoenas because it's our constitutional obligation to investigate this. Is this further evidence of a witch hunt by Trump deranged syndrome Democrats?
Yes. The William Barr's refusal, in their opinions, to release the unredacted special counsel report is William Barr complying with the special counsel's statute. The law requires Bob Mueller to present the report to William Barr. The law passed by Congress. Mm-hmm. So... You have members of Congress who happen to be in the Democratic Party who are requiring William Barr to violate a law that they passed, Congress I'm talking about, in order to satisfy their political objectives, which really reveals the fact that this is nothing other than a political stunt in attempting to extend the cloud or the imprimatur of the collusion investigation on into the 2020 election.
Okay, but now Congress does have subpoena power,
sure.
Right? So can they, even though everything, I obviously agree with everything you just said, and that's clear that this is part of the political witch hunt, et cetera, but can they, not in contravening the law, but can they simply subpoena William Barr and demand that he come and reveal what the report says?
They cannot demand that he reveal what the report says. They can subpoena him to come and to testify before.
Can he refuse?
Yes, and he would invoke the statute that Congress passed, and he may not be a smart aleck like I can be from time to time, but I might say it, well, unfortunately, Chairman, whomever it is, pursuant to the law that you guys passed, I can't answer that question.
But that doesn't stop the Democrats from screaming and saying, William Barr refuses to come before Congress. What is he hiding?
Exactly.
You know what?
And it's an invocation of a separation of powers doctrine, that whole,
right,
whole ordeal.
You know what, fellas? this is, I think, I try to call him like I see him.
Umpire, right? Tim.
I'm trying to be a fair, right, umpire until robots take over my
Steer.
Job. Okay.
Will you do the gestures, though, the umpire? Will you call the ball?
We laugh, but we're about a year or two away from umpires' jobs being out and robots calling balls and strikes. But anyway, I digress, which is rare for me. The Democrats need to cut this out and just move on. They got enough stuff to take on President Trump with that they disagree with him about, that are legitimate public policy issues out there. And this continue because I would say this: the vast majority of Americans consider this done and over.
Yep, I think you're right.
It's done and over. If Bob Barr, William Barr. Attorney General was making up, mischaracterizing the nature of this Thorough Mueller report, then Bob Mueller would have come out and said, hey, this guy's lying about my report. I want everything shown to the, you know what I'm saying?
And you're right, because he came out and corrected the media when they were mischaracterizing forces of his investigation.
Yes. This is a loser for the Democrats. It may make Stephen Colbert happy to keep it up, or Bill Maher, or whoever.
Fine women on the View.
With women on the View, but for the average American out there who didn't, maybe not pro Trump or against Trump, but they just said we'll wait and see what the report says, and now we know that President Trump did not collude with the Russians to do anything. So that's what Bob Mueller investigated for 2 years with all this money, all these lawyers, all these subpoenas, all these witnesses. Couldn't even put one of Donald Trump's kids in jail, for goodness sakes.
But do you think, for Democrats, do you think this is actually a loser with their base?
It may be a loser with the American people and the regular American. But remember, 2016, they don't care about these people.
Okay.
Right.
Nor do they even care to think what they may think about it.
But there's a reason Rachel Maddow lost 20 percentage points in one night.
Yep.
Okay.
One night. The day the Mueller report came out, 20% of her audience
disappeared.
The next day.
I didn't know it was overnight.
Overnight.
Yes.
Wow. The next day, even more.
Right.
The next day, even more.
Okay.
So to Tim's fabulous point.
Well, and then we're not going to digress from it either.
No, we're not going to. That I'm just saying to you, that's the people I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are the people who are relatively fair-minded, maybe. Or maybe they were Democrats obsessed with this, and then they said, well, that movie's already played out. You know, we need to move on to something else. I'm just saying, I think it would be good not that Democrats listen to my counsel. I think it would be good. They may make them, happy to keep saying he colluded, but they need to move on because 2020 is here.
Right.
Upon it, I'm talking about and people are going to want the Democrat voters out there, in my opinion, who are about to go select one of their Looney Tune candidates. They're not going to want to be, in my opinion, going to say, "Hey, let's read from page 374 of the unredacted Mueller report now."
Right.
And can we all gather around?
Right.
And high five one
let's
another.
Go through this with a fine tooth comb.
Nobody's going to care about that.
But I have a question. So in response to that, because I don't think it is a question of what can they oppose Trump on. I think the issue is what gains the most traction with their supporters that they can question Trump on. If they don't have the Russian collusion story to talk about, what exactly are the Democrats going to use to get their base to show up?
Because I will say this, what the Mueller report, to me, this is exactly the same kind of scenario in terms of what it's doing to the internal, organs of the average Democrat. They expected Hillary Clinton to be elected and to continue the radical transformation of America after 8 years of President Obama. It was going to be 8 years of President Hillary Clinton. This lunatic, Donald Trump, okay, folks, this is from the Democratic perspective, upset those plans.
Gummed up the works.
And defeated Hillary Clinton. How could that be possible? The only way it could be possible is for Trump to have colluded with the Russians. It's the only possible way he could have beaten Hillary Clinton. So we know his presidency is illegitimate. Everything he's done, Brett Kavanaugh, illegitimate. Everything he's done is illegitimate because he got into office in illegitimate fashion because of Trump collusion. Now that that's gone, how are they going to prove that the Trump presidency is illegitimate? To me, that's why they almost have to find some way to continue banging that drum.
That was my question. I mean, if they don't have that, then what are they going to use?
Well, if I were them, I'd talk about how...
Cow flatulence?
Medicare for All is probably going
to
be something.
But what I'm saying is it's one thing to oppose Trump on his policies.
Yeah.
It's something else entirely to say he is an illegitimate president.
Right.
And everything he's done should be washed away after
2020. That sounds like whining.
Oh, yeah.
And it
will continue to sound like that if they continue to focus on this report.
There is probably, I'm making up numbers here, but I think I've seen these. This is probably fairly accurate. There's about 40%, 30 to 40% of Americans would identify as Republicans. Probably 30 to 40% of Americans would identify as Democrats.
Right.
Then you got that 25% in the middle, 30%. I don't know if my numbers add up there yet. But they're not Democrats or Republicans. And they don't really think about politics too much till it's about time to vote for president. Mm-hmm. And it's those people I'm saying this is not going to – they need to move on with something that they're for, the Democrats are for, that are going to benefit that the average American out there – by average, I mean that's that 25, 30, 35% group who is not a Republican or Democrat, but they're going to vote in the presidential election, but they're going to vote for one of them because they feel like they can do something – that helps their lives.
I don't disagree with that, but I'm saying from a Democratic strategist point of view,
yeah,
you're talking about the country as if 100% of people vote, and they don't. Half the people are registered, of voting age are registered. Half of registered voters vote. So 25% of people eligible to vote actually do vote. And that's why for Democrats, they've got to make sure their portion of that 25% go to the polls. Because
Free marijuana for everybody.
Well, yeah. I'm not saying what
if they
should do.
You want to get those Democrats out? Free marijuana for everybody.
I agree.
Free and legal.
I agree with what you're saying they should do. I'm saying what are they going to do? They are going to play to their base because the majority of Americans – I agree with your percentages, but the majority of Americans don't even bother
to vote. Okay, but you can segment your appeal in today's world of political advertising. You do go after your base with Trump still colluded with Russia. Trump's illegitimate. Stop this maniac from winning a second term.
Right.
You know, you can go after that with those hardcore Democrats, and you can identify them today. So get them out to the polls.
Right.
You know, your Robert De Niro crowd, you know. but you also can appeal to that middle part of the country.
Yeah, because some of them are going to vote.
Which both parties need to win.
Right.
With some things that are more substantive in their minds on how it affects our country. You know what I'm saying? Whether it be fixing the healthcare system, if that can be done.
Right.
They could even appeal to, okay, we need to keep Obamacare as good parts, and the Republicans are trying to leave you. I'm just doing it from their perspective.
Yeah.
Republicans are trying to leave you without any health care.
If you want your Obamacare, you can keep it.
Yes. Mm. Yes. Who knows where Obamacare is going to go now? The mandate's gone.
Well, it's not gone. It's zeroed out.
Right. It could come back with President whoever.
Yeah.
And another Congress.
Yeah. Overnight.
Anyway.
Overnight.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. A couple things to clean up before I get emails. And I probably won't get any. First of all, by Trump's children going to jail. I mean, he had to be worried about that, right?
Sure.
President Trump. Because you knew they were
knowing the mania,
they were being targeted
side.
By all this money, power, and subpoena power, and if Robert Mueller could have got any of Trump's kids on anything, they would have. So they must be living pretty clean lives,
I would
in my
guess.
Opinion, in terms of their keeping their books straight and everything. But the second thing was, I don't think free marijuana for everybody.
Right, so don't email you and say you said.
I'm advocating for that.
That was Robot Tim.
I do think that would appeal to a certain segment of the American populist out there.
And but you're then, saying that's what Democrats
but
made.
But then after they get free marijuana, then they would never vote again because they wouldn't know what day it was.
Because they'd be too busy eating Cheetos. Yes.
Duly noted, Ed. Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Rick Green is with us now. Rick is with Patriot Academy, and he's also with the radio show Wall Builders Live. But Rick, he and his colleagues there, they have summer camps for young people where they train them on how to be tomorrow's leaders, particularly in government, and wanted to tell folks about that. So Rick joins us now. Rick, good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys? I may not fit on the program because we try to encourage them not to legalize marijuana, so I must be on the wrong.
Well, you're in the right place. You're in the right place. We were metaphoring.
Yeah, right. No, I'm with you, brother.
Listen, Rick, let me ask you this. By the way, you live in Austin, or where do you live?
I'm in the big city of Dripping Springs, just outside of Austin. But
okay,
yeah.
Dripping Springs, Texas. Okay,
you got it.
Sounds like a hee-haw.
used to be, man.
Salute.
Part of the big city.
Dripping Springs.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, tell us, Rick, about the Patriot Academy summer camps that you guys hold, because I know a lot of listeners out there maybe who want to send their kids or their grandkids to one of these.
Well, only if they want to raise leaders, man. It's definitely a leadership laboratory held within state capitals across the country. And the good news is the results speak for themselves. Our graduates are serving in all areas of the culture, including being elected to legislatures across the country, working as chiefs of staff, making movies, going into business, in the pulpit. They're really making a big difference. And so the first thing I'd say is to folks that are frustrated and maybe feeling a little bit of helplessness maybe at being able to make a difference in the culture, know that you can make a difference by investing in the next generation and helping us raise up kind of the tip of the spear. These are what we call the Navy SEALs of thought. They are the ones that can persuade their generation away from this march towards socialism, and it's a huge challenge.
How do I find out more about these camps?
PatriotAcademy.com is the website, and they start in June. They go through kind of mid-August. We have regional academies across the country, and then we have one big national academy that takes place in the Mecca of Freedom, which is, of course, Texas. I had to get that in there.
Well, unless you're Chick-fil-A and want to go to the San Antonio Airport.
Oh, man, I was hoping you wouldn't bring
good
that up.
Night.
Yeah, sore spot.
Oh, man. What
can you believe that?
No,
oh.
It's just insane. These people talk about hate,
right?
Huh?
Yeah.
Let's go to patriotacademy. What?
When your politics makes you hate the best chicken on the planet, there's really something wrong.
You need to do some soul searching.
You need to do some soul searching.
Huh?
PatriotAcademy.com, and we serve Chick-fil-A at least three times during that week.
Now, I would, I don't want people to hate on me, but I would put Chick-fil-A and Popeyes pretty much on the same.
That, sir, is heresy.
I know. I know. I'm sorry. I like Popeyes.
I'm definitely on the wrong program.
I like Popeyes also.
to each his own. It's a different kind of chicken.
I got to admit, I like that Cajun spice and that Popeyes chicken.
It's a different kind of chicken.
Anyway, that's not what we're here
and
to discuss.
KFC fans would argue with you right there. But anyway,
right.
Let's get back to so how many camps you got coming up this now you said from June to August. What you meant, these are one-week academies, right?
Right. Our regional academies across the country are 3 days, and then our national academy is a full 7-day, week-long program. We do it in Florida, Arizona, Idaho, Delaware, Colorado, Texas. Texas is the national one. And
okay.
Then, and by the way, age is 16 to 25. So these are high school, college, law students. We also have a military veterans program, so of any age, and that's usually folks in their late 20s, early 30s, up to their 70s.
Yeah,
and they serve on the Senate side while the students are on the House side. So it's a great chance for them to get to experience what they fought for. And
the cool thing about these camps is that I know Walker, my son, went to one. He's not here today. And he spoke last year, is that these kids go, at least at the one in Texas, they go to the state house and they have mock legislative sessions, right?
I tell you how real it is. It is so much like a real legislative session that we often have visitors to the Capitol that'll sit in the gallery and watch them on the House floor debating the legislation, and they'll come down and say, man, y'all's legislators are young in this state. Because they think it's the real deal. I mean, it's intense. It's a great chance for them to really learn the process and figure out what they really believe and why they believe it. I mean, we challenge them, and we hit it hard. We go all day and late into the night. They don't get much sleep while they're there, but it's like a real legislative session. We want them to get a taste of that. And the best part is they leave going, hey, I'm not alone. There are other young people that care about the country and the future where we're going. And we load them up with, we fill their toolbox full of speaking skills, media skills, persuasion skills. How do they win the next generation and get them away from this socialism?
All right.
It's exciting to see, guys. And I really appreciate y'all spreading the word. And really, I mean, American Family's been a great partner of ours for years now. So thank y'all for coming alongside us. And to your listeners, thank you for supporting AFA. And being able to support us. It's a most important investment you can make if you want your kids to live in freedom.
PatriotAcademy.what?
PatriotAcademy.com.
Okay. Hey, Rick, thanks so much. God bless you, brother.
God bless you guys. Keep up the great work.
Okay, thank you. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio, and they're going to have some great camps this summer. You know, folks, I know when I was a kid, I liked sports camp. I loved going to church camp. And those are all wonderful, but this is an academy, a one-week academy where your kids can go and learn to be leaders for tomorrow. And check it out, patriotacademy.com. All right, we've got about 3 minutes left, Chris. What do you got?
Well, I want to bring this up because he just mentioned there it was the most important investment you can make if you want your kids growing up in freedom. There is a former senator, Mike Gravel or Gravel of Alaska. He's 88 years old, and he's joined the ever-growing list of 11 billion Democrats wanting their party's nomination for president. Former Senator Mike Gravel of Alaska, as I said, has filed to run for president, but apparently he has no intention of winning. He even says he's going to drop out after the debates. Get this. His purpose here is to, and he tweeted as much, our only aim is pushing the field left by appearing in the Democratic debates.
Wait, his only aim is doing what?
Is pushing the field further to the left.
How? That's impossible.
He wants to get, well.
I'm thinking the same thing, eh?
And it brings us back to what we were talking about yesterday, because Walker and I both asked Sandy about this. Do you think the pressure against Joe Biden is to get the moderate Joe out of the way so they can get their radical in there?
Oh, yes.
And here we have a guy that's literally open about it.
This is the Democrat takedown of Joe Biden.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's going on here, don't you think, Abe?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. These things never came to the fore about Joe Biden until there was this voracious Democrat primary. These are the Dems trying to say, we cannot have Uncle Sniffy-smelling
Joe
to go against President Trump. We want to clear the slate to make sure
because
one of our
progressives. Because this lady from Nevada who's making this accusation, this is a five-year-old complaint, isn't it?
From 2014.
There was another one that was a – there was one that – there's been more come out since even yesterday. I think he's toast.
You do?
I really do, yeah.
He's toast probably with Democrats.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Most
Americans would just say, it's a bit creepy.
His friends in the liberal media try to save him, but I don't think it's going to work. All right, we'll be back. Thank you, Abe.
Thank you, guys.
Mild-mannered, Abe Hamilton.
Join Abe Hamilton this afternoon for his talk show. All right.
Don't miss our moment.
And he'll have some cool jazz as well. We'll be back in a minute.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.